tell people I was expecting a more flowery introduction, but he evidently can't read my writing. We're glad to be here. I appreciate you and your support of us. We had a great night. We stayed with the Smiths last night, and they were blessed, a blessing to us. We have something in common. We have a lot of family, and that was quite a blessing. This portion of scripture was a blessing to me as I prepared my message that I share out with other people. You know, we all have one problem in common, and that is that we were born into the wrong spiritual family. As a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, we inherited a sin nature. By the that nature, we are of the family of the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." And if we remain in that family, we will eventually die and go to hell. John 8, 24 says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he," that is, that he is the light of the world, "ye shall die in your sins," John 8, 12. And so God has given us the opportunity, has chosen to give us the opportunity to be adopted into his family. Not because of anything that we have done or that we are desirable to God. It isn't like God's looking down, "Oh, I need some people that are going to really be a blessing to me." No, that's not true. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." If you look also back in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, "And when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so we say, well, why did God do that? And frankly, it was because it pleased him to do that. If you look at that portion of scripture that Pastor read this morning, notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, "He did it according to the good pleasure of his will." Verse 9, "having made known unto us according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself." In verse 12, "to the glory, to praise of his glory." In verse 14, it reminds us that he did that for the praise of his glory. And so when you look at that, God did it because he chose to do it, and it was his desire to rescue and provide rescuing for us. We want to look at this morning, why adopt? Who and how to adopt, and the blessing of adoption. Why adopt? Why would God choose to adopt people into his kingdom? Last year, as I was traveling around, I preached a message on the fact that we were created in God's image. And, you know, it is amazing if you look back in Genesis chapter 1, the painstakingly work that God put into preparing the world for us, created everything. He just spoke it into existence, but everything was created. And when he had everything else created, then it's almost like, if you can imagine, a triune God planning out, "Let us make man in our image." And man was brought on the scene. We just finished Christmas, you know, celebrating it last month. And sometimes preachers will make a big issue about the fact that Jesus was born and laid in a manger, and the fact that the world was not ready for him and didn't prepare for him, and that's all they provided for him. Look, God is the one that's in charge, right? It's God that provided for Adam and Eve to come into this beautiful garden. It was also God that prepared for Jesus to be born in the conditions that he was born. It was all of God. And then we know that when God put Adam and Eve in this beautiful garden, and what an amazing thing when you think about that, had everything going for them. God gave them a test of obedience, and that was about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat of that tree. And yet they chose to disobey God. And as a result of that, they were separated from God. But God didn't end there. When you're raising your kids, there is a tendency, you do that one more time and this is going to happen. You know, and sometimes our judgments are so emphatic that we know we can't carry them out. You know, it's like the mother who is preparing to have guests over, and she doesn't want her children to touch the towels that she's just put in the bathroom, and she says, "Don't touch these under penalty of death." And then she forgets to take it off, and she has guests there, and they don't use them either. You know, because. God isn't like that. God doesn't make empty threats, does he? And he said, you eat of that tree and you're going to die. And so they ate of the tree. If God was like us, he would say, I'll give you one more chance. No, God said, that's it. And so as a result of that, we inherited a sin nature, and we fell, and we're doomed to die. But God had a special love for that creation. And even though he had said the wages of sin is death, and the fact that it's either we are going to die for our sins, or a satisfactory substitution is going to have to be offered in our place. And that's what Jesus did when he came into this world. Jesus didn't have a sin nature, and he was born of a virgin. Sometimes we pass that over, but that was very, very significant, very, very important. Because as much as we might not want to admit it, fellas, we inherit our sin nature from our earthly father. Jesus didn't have an earthly father. And then he was able to live a sinless life, fulfilling all righteousness, and voluntarily sacrifice himself on the cross of Calvary. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're adopted into the family of God. Isn't that amazing? Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And literally, that's Daddy, Daddy. It's the same word in two different languages. But it's a term of endearment. Galatians 4:5 says, "To redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons." Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 1 here, I know I'm going to do something different than most preachers do. I'm going to preach the text. Usually we use that to leap off, right? You know, and just, I know what I want to say. Now, just give me something that'll back up what I want to say. No, I'm not doing that. Notice what it says here, why he adopted us. Verse 3, he adopted us to bless us. Verse 4, so that we could be holy and without blame before him. Verse 5, for his good pleasure. It's amazing to think that we could be pleasing to God, isn't it? I always, when I read in the book of Job, and the Bible says that the devil has gone up and down the earth, and God said to the devil, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You kind of get the idea that God was pretty proud of Job, huh? Here's a man that loves God and hates evil. And of course, you know the whole story there, but we can be to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, we are to be to the praise of his glory. In other words, God adopted us to be a blessing to him. It's amazing, and we can be a blessing. Why should we consider getting involved in adoption? Well, there are children who need to be adopted. Just like we need to be adopted into God's family, there are children who need an earthly mom and dad. It's not about what we want. It's about what we ought to do. I remember when I was in my first church, and I had a young fellow, and I asked him if he would lead the singing for us and on Sunday nights and that, and he did for a couple of weeks, and then one day he comes up to me and he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. And I said, why not? He said, because I don't enjoy it. I said, what's that got to do with it? But you know what? The truth is, that's the way most of us live, isn't it, in our relationship with God? Well, I don't think I'd like that, or I don't think I'd enjoy that. It's not for what we want, it's what God would have us to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? It's like Jesus in the garden when he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And somewhere we got to get to that point ourselves. What does God want us to do? Lord laid it upon my wife and I to adopt four children. It wasn't something we wanted to do. We had gotten involved with foster care, and that's a little different because, you know, you can love them up and you can send them home. If you adopt them, you're stuck with them. But there are children out there that need a mom and dad, and it's about what we can do for God. You know, the truth is, when God adopted us in our family, into his family, we're more bother to him than we're worth. You know what? We come with a lot of baggage ourselves. He chose to put himself out because we needed him, not because he needed us. And we need to be willing to put ourselves out because there are children that need us, and that we can have an opportunity to do something for God. There are children that need an opportunity to develop to their full potential. I believe that it is every man's job, and I appreciated what you said because my wife kind of wrings her hands, and we wouldn't be in the mess we are in with the abortion issue if we had men stepping up to the plate and being men. It's really what the problem is. And I believe that every man has the responsibility to provide the opportunities for his wife and children to develop to their fullest potential. And we ended up adopting the four that we did. When our son came to live with us, my wife was helping him with homework one day, and he said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm just going to marry some woman and she'll take care of me, because that's where he came from. 2 years ago, he's married now and got a couple of kids. 2 years ago, he graduated with an engineering degree. He is an awesome dad and an awesome father. And I'm so pleased with that. We don't take the credit for it. It was grace of God that worked in his life. But to give them an opportunity to develop to that potential is something awesome. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, and this is a portion of scripture that's often read when we are talking about young children. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Just as our children make us look good as parents when they do right, we make God look good when we do what's right. I used to often told children, the Bible talks about children, honor your father and mother. And I said to the children, the way you honor your father and mother is by living in such a way that people will come to the conclusion that your parents were good parents. You know, we all have this tendency. You see a kid running around in church, you know, misbehaving. What's your first thought? Where are their parents? You know, they can't be any good because look at what their child is doing. And the truth is that we are a reflection about God, too. We have been adopted into God's family, and we're given a responsibility to live in a way to show people what kind of work God does. We're a reflection of that. When I said that, as I mentioned in my message last year, was we are created in the image of God, and we are supposed to be an example of what God is like in the world. Right? So our attitude and our actions ought to reflect God. And there are a lot of people being turned off to Christianity because of the way people who claim to be Christians are fleshing it out. But our children are a reflection. And there are children out there that God has given us the ability to be a blessing to. So, who and how to adopt? Isn't it amazing that God made adoption into his family available to everyone, and he did it through the finished work of Jesus Christ? I know we have people that say, well, if you're not the chosen of God, if you're not elected, God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Bible says that whosoever will may come. I don't have to worry of whether you're chosen of God or not. I'm supposed to share the gospel. And the good news is that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that good news? God is willing to adopt us all. He's not a respecter of persons. But obviously, we can't adopt everyone. We don't have the resources or ability to adopt everybody. That doesn't mean that we can't or won't do anything, though. And, you know, on the other hand, I'll have people that'll come and they'll say, they want to adopt. They aren't able to have children of their own, and we really would like to adopt a baby. But they want a baby not necessarily because they're concerned that the baby has a home, but so that the baby will fill a need that they have in their own life. Older children come with some mental and emotional baggage, and I can attest to that. Ours were 6, 8, 10, and 12 when we got them. There's gals talking to Holly Hickey one day about the issue about adoption and abortion. She said, actually, the women that come into the clinic are more fearful of the adoption word than they are the abortion word. And I said, really? Yeah, because in two things. One, she said, when a woman puts her baby up for adoption, it's like abandoning it. I'm not going to take care of it. I'm just going to abandon it. Well, duh, it's better to abandon it, adoption, than it is to abort it. But the second reason is that many of these gals that come into a clinic like the Alpha Center have been adopted themselves, and they had a bad experience. Maybe they were abused, or at least perceived to be abused. I'll explain that. But a lot of times when you adopt these children and they came from a chaotic situation and a dysfunctional home, and you put them into a structured home where there are consequences and there's discipline and all of that kind of stuff, and they feel that this is too confining. In the four that we adopted, one of them in particular, and as I travel around the state, I've told people, pray for Delaine. Delaine was the one that was 8 years old when we adopted her. When she became a teenager, she claimed she didn't believe in God, she didn't want any of this, and she put us through misery. When she turned 18 and moved out, she spread a lot of things about how abusive we were and that we were trying to brainwash her and all of those kind of things. Continue to pray for her because she's starting to come around now and she still wants to have contact with us. But the truth is, if you'd have talked to her, she would have thought there was a terrible thing that happened to her. The other one thought it was a good thing. So it might be a preconceived thing, but they do come with baggage. Now, if you're considering adopting, it isn't the fact that they're going to do something for you, and you're not necessarily going to do that for those children. But it is an opportunity to lay up for yourselves some offerings, some treasures in heaven. The Bible talks about that, doesn't it? People talk about, I gave a lot of money. God doesn't need your money. He needed here at the church to carry on. We're not trying to talk you out of anything here, but the truth is, what God wants is what you offer up in heaven, treasures in heaven, as anything that you sacrificed on this earth for Him. And it's just like when your pastor came here. He came here for the praise of men, right? And you stand, and as soon as they stop praising you, you're out the door, right? No. He didn't do that for them. He's here to serve the Lord. I remember when I was in my first church, and a guy came to me, and he wanted me to perform a wedding ceremony for him and his bride, and there were some extenuating circumstances, and I said, I'm not going to do that. He said, you're a servant of this community. No, I said, I'm a servant of the Lord. And what I'm doing is for God. If it works out that I can serve God by serving you, then I will do that, but I won't compromise that. And you're here to serve God, whether they praise you or not. And there'll be days when they don't praise you. And it's just like when you do something for children, you're doing it for God. It's something you're offering up for God. One way to get involved is with foster care. Now, I'm sharing you something this morning that is really taking the Word of God and making it practical, right? We're not talking about pie in the sky, about what people should do if they had an opportunity, and it may be even beyond our ability to ever have that opportunity. But I'm telling you about something that's practical that we can do. And one of the things is getting involved in foster care. And there are some that are reluctant to do that because they might get attached and then they go back to their parents. But you were there for them when there was a need and to let them know that someone cared. My wife and I used to call it Operation Healthy Start. It is kind of amazing that we got involved in this 25 years ago. And every once in a while, we will pick up the paper and we read. There was a couple of girls, young girls, that just graduated a couple of years ago from one of the high schools there, and they were stars on the soccer team, these twins. We remember having them as little babies, and it was kind of just an encouragement to us and that they were still doing very well, that had a part in their lives. We'll never know this side of heaven how much impact we had on their lives in the time that we had them. And God has given you the ability and the opportunity to love, and someday you're going to give an account of what you did with that opportunity and that love. I have on my table out there the home study application. If anybody is involved and wants to get involved in adoption or something like that, they can pick that up. And it's a very extensive home study, but we want to make them available. We want to collect these, get people that go through the home study. In order to adopt or even in foster care, you have to go through a home study. And we want to have these available at our pregnancy center so that if a woman comes in, finds out she's pregnant, wants to put it up for adoption, we can give her profiles of people that would be willing to consider adopting their child. That's something you need to get involved in. There are blessings. Now, that's the requirements, but there are blessings of adoption. Look at what it says in these verses here in Ephesians about the blessings of being adopted into God's family. Verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I am so thankful for the forgiveness of God. I was meditating one day. Do you ever try to imagine what heaven is like? The guy was talking about some people, it actually got into the point of where someone was talking about the guy who shot these five women down in Florida randomly in a bank. Well, what if that guy accepted the Lord as his Savior? Would he go to heaven? Well, we say, yeah. And he got to thinking about it. We're all going to die someday, and we got baggage that we've gotten through this life and all of that. And there are some things, hidden sins that we've had in our past that we've gotten God forgiveness of, but we still carry the consequences of that in ourselves. And we get up into heaven, and everybody's going to know everything about everybody, right? Is God going to give us the ability to accept everybody? And I thought, you know, the one thing we would have in common is that not anybody, no one, that goes to heaven deserves to go there. And we're going to be filled, I believe in heaven, we're going to be filled with the overwhelming appreciation of the grace and mercy of God, that's going to trump everything. We can't be judgmental of anybody else because we realize we aren't justified except through what Jesus Christ did. And to know that our debt is paid and nothing is held against us, you know, there are times that you go back to the Lord and ask for God to forgive something that you've already asked him to forgive you for many times. And if God were to be able to verbally say something back, he would say, I can distinctly remember forgetting about that. Isn't that neat? Verses 8 through 10, we are known the mystery of his will. In other words, God gives us spiritual understanding onto the inside track of what he is doing in this world. We're not left in the dark. As we study the word of God, we know a whole lot about not only what's happened in the past, what's going on today, but we know what's going to happen in the end. I read the last chapter. We win. Isn't that wonderful? You got an understanding about it. People talk about the fact that, we need an easier to understand Bible. No, we need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to understand the Word of God we have. Right? We inherit verses 11 through 14, we inherit the privilege of being a positive example of his grace. In order to do that, he places his Holy Spirit in us. and gives us the ability to be a positive example for God. If any of you are a fan of Unshackled on the radio, it's amazing what God does in people's lives. In fact, as I used to brag about the fact that I'm a 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Christian, where he takes the base things of the world and the things that are nothing, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I tell people, the only thing that I had going for me is that I didn't have anything going for me. God, if you can do something with this, you're going to get all the glory. And it's only because of his Holy Spirit it can change lives. Verses 15 and 16, Paul's assurance that these people were adopted. And he says here, their faith and love. Notice what he says there. Therefore also, after I heard of your faith of the Lord and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We are reminded in 1 John 2:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's obvious that there's been a change of heart in our life. There's a lot of us Christians that are people in our churches today. The preacher will preach the message, challenge you in some area, and you say, oh no, now I got to work on this. You know, he preached a message on love your neighbor. You don't know my neighbor. Yeah, well, love your neighbor. So you go on, I got to work on this. Now, if you're having a problem loving your neighbor, your problem isn't your neighbor. Your problem is your relationship with God. And when you become aware of that and you get the relationship with God right, then you'll have no problem with your neighbor. But in verse 15 or 8:15 of Romans, it says, we have received the spirit of adoption. We had no claim on God. He didn't owe it to us. It was an act of mere kindness, and now we are under his protection and care. And he's become our authority and protector. We receive blessings when we adopt children. Like God gave us, we're giving someone else a better chance in life. And they become a part of our family and traditions. And their accomplishments and their successes in life are our successes in life. And we rejoice in that. I have a tendency to talk about our 6 original and our 4 adopted. And my wife doesn't like me. They're all our children. And what they are, we take joy in all of them. I remember my daughter, when someone asked her, well, what do you think about adopting, having 4 brothers and more brothers and sisters? You know you're going to have to share the inheritance with them. And she said, well, 1/6 of nothing is about the same as 1/10 of nothing anyway. So she didn't worry about that. There are treasures that we're laying up in heaven. One difference between being adopted into God's family and our adopted children still have their own nature. And as I mentioned before, they come with some baggage. And, the Bible talks about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Technically, that's not a positive or negative, it's just a fact. Whatever way you raise them, that's the way they're going to go. And we had a little boy, one of our foster babies that we had. His father had to be terminated. And the judge said, the first 5 years of this boy's life is going to probably shape his character for the rest of his life. And you have been in trouble ever since you were 15 years old. And you say you're going to change, but I'm not willing to take a chance on this for this boy. And terminated his right. And it is true that they come with baggage, and technically those that we adopted don't think like the original 6, but they're still into our family. There is a difference. when we're adopted into the family of God, God puts his Holy Spirit in us and changes our heart. So we start thinking and being like him. And we need to pray that God would work in the heart of those that we adopt, that God would change their heart. Just like I pray and I encourage people to pray for Delaine. I can't change your heart, but God can. It's important for us to make sure that they are induced to Jesus Christ and then to be an example of what a Christian is supposed to be. Some will come to Christ, some may not. We often sing, "I surrender all," but most of us draw a line and declare just how far we're going to go, don't we? We sang last Sunday, we were in a church, and they take my life and let it be, you know. We were going to sing that song. It always sticks in my mind that I heard one guy sing, "Take my wife and let me be." You know, that's kind of the attitude we have. Sometimes we decide what we will or won't surrender to God. We make what sacrifices, we decide what sacrifices we're going to make. And truth is, we even decide how large a family we're going to have. Does that strike a chord? Because we couldn't afford a large family, so we'll decide. We're not going to let God decide what size of family we're going to have. Often we end up wondering why God doesn't bless us more than he does. And sadly, sometimes it may have been because we wouldn't surrender so he could. It's time we allowed God to lead in our lives. He made us, and he knows our abilities and capabilities and limitations. He knows what's best for us and what will give us a fulfillment. But your availability is up to you. There's a little verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Some of you, there is no temptation taken us, but it is common to man. That God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape, that you're able to endure it. He gives us the ability, but the willingness has to come from us. Are you willing to say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Not, "Lord, this is what I want to do." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your making adoption into your family for all. Thank you for not only providing that salvation through Jesus Christ, but then convicting in our heart about our sin and our need of you as our Savior, and introducing us to the joy of knowing you and having our sins forgiven. Father, if there's something that you would have us to do, I pray that you'd make us very aware of that. Not only the fact that there may be somebody here that needs to trust you as their Savior, but Lord, there may be someone here that you've been laying on our heart about getting involved, leaving your comfort zone, making yourself vulnerable to your use in whatever way you see fit to use us. And that, Lord, we might offer it up as a sacrifice to you for your glory. Father, whatever you do, we thank you that you loved us enough to do what you did. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.